Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight, and praise the Lord again for just being in church. We started a study, our series, on the life of Noah, and we've had a lot of things take place since we preached the one message on it so far, and then we had all the holidays and everything else taking place, and so it's good to get back into our study here on the life of Noah. If you have your Bibles with you, look with me to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Noah's life gives much insight into the history of mankind. And the more you know about Noah and the life of Noah, the more you're going to understand about it. And we'll be looking at a lot of that even tonight on how we got started, how everything happened in the beginning, which actually led to the great flood. You can't study the life of Noah without studying the great flood and what took place and why it happened and everything that it, how it's impacted the world even today. And there's so much there. And we're going to be going through all that in time. The first message we preached on, we studied the New Testament accounts of the recordings of Noah. And I thought that was very interesting to be able to see what the New Testament says and how it uses the testimony of Noah. Two of the main things was in Hebrews in chapter 11, our faith chapter. It reveals that Noah was a man of great faith, a great faith. And we've looked at some of that. And then the second thing, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it reveals that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And even though the world didn't want to hear what Noah had to say, Noah continued to preach the words of God all the way till the sealing of the ark. And then, of course, the floods came. But so there's the two main things, and I think it's important to understand that because that'll come into play even as we study our lesson tonight on this. And we're looking at the conditions of the world. The conditions of the world that actually brought on the great flood and how all that is recorded for our learning and our understanding. And so tonight, go ahead and stand with me. We'll begin here in Genesis in chapter 5. Genesis in chapter 5 and verse 28. We find this genealogy leading up to this birth of this great man of faith, the preacher of righteousness named Noah. In verse 28, the Bible says, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, as we bow before you tonight, it's a blessing to be in church. As we just look to study this life of Noah, there's no doubt there is, you've recorded it for us. And as we have this understanding of humanity and what the conditions of the world, and it better helps us to even understand the day in which we live now and how that we are to approach this life and what we are to look to be accomplishing in this life. And so I pray that you would just help us to learn these truths that will strengthen our faith as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, the conditions of the world, this is where it's headed, is for the birth of Noah. But let's back up a little bit now. Let's go all the way back to Genesis in chapter 1. Genesis in chapter 1. And verse 28 through 31, because we find here, this was God's will for man before man's fall, before the fall of man and, of course, the yielding to the temptations and the sin and then the God's curse upon man and the earth. But in Genesis in chapter 1, we find this was God's will for mankind. And after God created man and woman, the Bible says, "And God blessed them. He blessed their union. He blessed the two of them, And this is his blessings. This is what should have and would have come out of his blessings if they had chosen to continue to do God's will. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. God's will for every one of his children is to be fruitful. It's produce fruit for the Lord, and accomplishing and producing fruit is just accomplishing things that God would have you to accomplish, and letting God, allowing God to use your life and multiply. Part of being fruitful was to multiply. God wanted humanity to multiply. He created Adam, and he created Eve, and he designed a way that they would be able to multiply and stay together for a lifetime. One man with one woman for a lifetime, and having children, multiplying. So, and being fruitful and being used as God wanted them to be used, God wanted them, the two of them, to multiply, and that would bring pleasure to God, and that would be fruitful. It would be accomplishing what God created them to do on this earth. He had already created the earth and everything about the earth to accommodate that, and to replenish the earth and subdue it. Man would have the wherewithal, the abilities to subdue everything on planet Earth and have dominion. Dominion. I mean, they were to rule over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so they would in time have the abilities to be able to control the oceans and rule over everything in the ocean and the air. We don't know just how sophisticated this generation of people were before the flood. That's still, the Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know, but it was God's will as they would continue to look to him that he would give them the technology. He would give them the wherewithal to where they would be able to have dominion over everything on this earth that's in the ocean, in the air. They would have this technology, and he would be able to bless them to do that over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over everything that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherewith there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was, look right here, very good. Very good. I believe we'll have a taste of that. I think it'll be so much better, but in heaven we'll have a taste for God's perfect will. And seeing how God's will for life can be, and how joyous and how rewarding it can be. And everything was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so we find here that is God's will for man. Understand that. It was to look to God and be fruitful, and God would add all of these things, and God would bless humanity with these things. I think that even today, Christians ought to be looking to God for his blessings in order to be fruitful, and that is looking to accomplish things that God would have us to accomplish. And God will provide, and all the blessings of the New Testament go hand in hand with how God created it in the beginning, the blessings of God, and how he would provide, and how he would give us the wherewithal to accomplish what he would have us to do. So we see that. Sin entered before they would begin to reproduce and multiply. Before man and woman would reproduce, they committed the sin against God and rebelled against what God told them to do. And then because he told them the consequences of the sin, then that consequence came upon man and woman. And the Bible says that they realized at that point that they were naked, and they themselves sewed leaves together and covered themselves, because that would then see God's plan of reproduction, and Satan was using that in the very beginning to be able to put a different light on that than what God would have had it to be. And so we find that, and that's not our story, but I mean, we're understanding what's taking place there. And so sin entered before they would begin to reproduce and multiply. And so after that, Then God, the curse upon the ground, the curse upon man and woman and humanity. And then they started to reproduce. God continued, and this is part of God's will for them, even though they did not have the perfect environment and all the things were not as it was planned in the beginning. But now, as they move on with humanity, but now they're moving forward with this sin nature, and they're moving forward with the curse of God upon the earth and things that would have changed things drastically. But the Bible records that, and then the Bible records the reproduction of humanity, Adam and Eve. It records the first two sons that Adam and Eve would have. And go to chapter 4 with me now. This is all leading up to having a better understanding about what took place in the population of the earth in Noah's day. I think all this is important, and having this understanding is important. And so, chapter 4, and verses 1 through 4 reveals that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And so it records the first two births. Now again, they were born with a sin nature. That was never God's will for children to be born with a sin nature. But now things have changed. And so how would man develop with a sin nature? Adam and Eve did not develop with a sin nature. They were created as mature adults. And so they had not experienced having a sin nature until they committed the sin. But the children would be born with a sin nature. And now they would be raised with this sin nature. And we find from the very beginning that each one would have a will, and that even though they were raised in the very same environment, with the very same parents, with all the very same things, they go different directions. And one becomes a tiller of the ground, and one becomes he starts raising animals, raising sheep, cattle. And Abel, when God came into the picture, they're old enough now and they are taught the things that they are to honor God with their first fruits of whatever they have. And they come, as they're offering to God, they're offering to God not really what God had for Cain to offer. Abel understands a blood offering and he brings it before, but Cain does not. And so we find here that from verse 6 down to verse 8, that Cain rebels against God. Abel does not rebel against God, but Cain rebels against God, and God addresses that. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? His anger, the sin nature already is seen coming out when it didn't go his way, when he didn't think that God treated him the way he wanted God to treat him. And so we find here that then God addresses Cain, and he was very angry, and God says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Well, and then the Bible says, not only did Cain rebel, but as he rebelled against God, somewhat striking out at God and striking out at Abel, the one that God was pleased with and that God had blessed. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, of course, all of us here know that story very well, but we find here that the first two children born with a sin nature, we learn much from this, and yet these are the ones that would continue to reproduce. Well, Cain is banished from God's presence. The judgment upon Cain is, if you didn't want to serve God, you don't love God, then God will not force you to love him. And there's a penalty and there's judgment because of his actions of killing his brother. And we find that Cain is banished. In verse 16 of chapter 4, And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Okay, so now Cain is banished from God's presence, has no fellowship with God. It was because of Cain's choice. God did not force him. If Cain would have repented at any time and cried out to God, I believe that there would have been repentance and there would have been a reconciliation. There would have been forgiveness and God would have worked and there still would have been consequences. But Cain did not want to fellowship with God. He did not want to live as God would have him to live. And so God has now judged him and he is banished from the presence of God and there's no fellowship now with God. Well, in verse 16 down to verse 24 of chapter 4, Cain begins to populate the earth with his seed. So the first real genealogy we have of man reproducing is that of Cain. Now, sin and man would eventually rule the earth. But it all stemmed from one man. It all stemmed from his seed being raised in a godless society with no respect for God and raising a society from this one man's seed. Cain begins to populate the earth to establish a godless society, a godless city. Look what it says here. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, in the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Now this is not the Enoch that walked with God. This is of the seed of Cain. Okay? And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called a name, the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech, and Lamech. Now some of the same names, but remember, you can't confuse the names of the seed of Seth with the names of the seed of Cain. This was the first genealogy reveals some of the seed of Cain. And I'm going to show you, there's a purpose for that. And it goes down, it goes, talks about all the different ones, And verse 21, his brother's name was Jubal, which was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. Okay, so we have this music based on an ungodly seed. Music that was based upon a godless society. Can you imagine what kind of music that would have been? I think it would have been much of the kind of music you hear today from a godless society. This would have been a lot of the acid and hard rock, whatever it might have been, but they built instruments and they used them, but they didn't use them to glorify the Lord. Now they're building a city. This is a generation of people. This is the descendants of Cain. And so he reveals that to us. He said he has one, the harp and the organ, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. So they're able to start building, and who knows what they were able to build and what they build with the brass and the iron and all the different things. And they were establishing a city. They were building buildings, and they were establishing a lifestyle. They were building and prospering, but with a godless society. But I want to take you down to Lamech in verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, okay, well, in this godless society, the first of multiple marriages. Lamech takes two wives. In verse 12 it says, and Lamech took unto him two wives. Never was God's will. Jesus even revealed that. It's supposed to have been one woman for one man and one man for one woman. And that's, but in this godless society now, without God, he's going to do everything opposite God's will. And they're still multiplying and they're developing. And now they're starting to live and develop this godless city, this godless society. And they're taking more than one wives. And no doubt they're not honoring their bodies as the temples of God or as God would have them to honor them, their bodies and their music and their all their activities and on and on and on. It's revealing this and it's showing us some of these things. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Now, God reveals that to us because not only did Lamech turn against God and didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, I mean, wanted to have as many wives as he wanted to have, wanted to have the kind of music they wanted to have, wanted to live the lifestyle they wanted to live, and he mocks God. Because part of God's judgment upon Cain, and Cain says, it's too much for me. And look over in verse 15, it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, unto him, therefore whoso slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Well, now Lamech somehow understood that, and he mocks God, and he says, well, he did that to Cain because he murdered one man. I'm a murderer of many. And bragging about it to his wives. This is my lifestyle, and you better fear me. I can murder whoever I want to murder, take whoever lives I want to take. If God judged Cain for this, then he's going to put a protection on me for 70 times 70. 70 and sevenfold. He mocks God, basically. So they're taking two wives, mocking God, developing music that they want, lifestyles that they want. That's the first of the genealogies that's recorded in the scripture. Verse 25 and verse 26 reveals, okay, now that it's established that the first two sons, okay, one wanted to do right, he was killed by his older brother. And so now the first genealogy is given to us from Cain. And Cain, a godless society. Now they're starting to replenish the earth. And Adam knew his wife again and bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Because then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So now we find where the godly seed came from. It would have come from Seth, the third son of Adam and Eve. Seth begins to populate the earth, and his seed begins to call upon the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, so now we have population. The earth is starting to grow. The population of the earth. Mankind on earth. But you have a distinct two different types of people. One's calling upon the Lord and the other's doing everything opposite God. And so we know that Satan is very much working in the lives of Cain and his descendants. Chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, Adam and Eve continue for another 800 years to have children. Now, see, that is just unfathomable for us because we don't realize at that time the earth was a little bit different. It hadn't rained on the earth yet. God watered the plant life from below. I mean, the mist, things would have been different there. The curse of the earth had not gotten as bad as it continues to get. Mankind continued to get worse and worse before God would destroy them, and we know that was coming, but so all this is happening, but the earth is a little bit different. People are living a lot longer. And so they continue to have children. Adam and Eve even, look in verse 5, 4 and 5, in the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years after he begot Seth, and he begot sons and daughters. So how many more children did Adam and Eve have? 800 years, you do the math. They're not one of them is mentioned. No genealogy of the rest of the children of Adam and Eve. None. But they were still multiplying on the earth. So, how would that, were they living maybe middle of the road? God records the descendants of Cain, and he records one of the families, the descendants of Seth. Noah, so were they the rest of them kind of living in the, there you have the extreme on both directions, this extreme saying we want to serve God. The other says we want to do anything but serve God. And so then you have others populating the earth that were somewhat indifferent, using whichever one they could use for their own benefits. If it benefited me to use a little bit of Seth's influence, I'll do that. If a little bit of Cain's influence, and I'll do that. And possibly look at the world today, and we, from this, we'll find a better view of our world today. And you'll see that in just a little bit. So we find here that no record of them, but he says they continue to have children for 800 years. 800 years. Repopulating the earth. It was God's will. They were replenishing. They were multiplying. And it's going. It's taking place. God designed it. Amen? Was not quite the way that God planned on his design being used. But because he established it, they would have children. Adam and Eve continued another 800 years. Well, chapter 5 and verse 6, all the way down to verse 32, the only genealogy recorded was that which led to Noah. The only genealogy of the children of Seth came, if you back it up, from Noah. Now, they would have had many children, but it's not recorded. Seth and his wife, it would have had many, but the one that is recorded, Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. For another 800 years, Seth and his wife had children. Did you ever seen that? For another 800 years, they continue to have children. There's no mention of any of those outside of just populating the earth. But the one that the Bible records is the genealogy that will lead to the birth of Noah. And so we have his seed line, this seed of Seth, that leads to Noah. Interesting. And there's a reason for that. But before that we go there, let me just share some facts with you. From Adam to the flood, 1,650 years of reproduction. 1,650 years. Calculated from the list of obituaries, okay, from when they died, how long they lived when they died. And if you would do that math and you go through that, God has recorded this for us so we would understand that. And I was able to just read it and study it. I didn't do it myself. I just believe what I read. 1,650 years. Based upon the rapid multiplication of births and in the environment that they were in and the lifespan that they lived, it's estimated by most Bible scholars that at the time of the flood, now this was baffling to me, 1 billion people. Now we would have thought early on, maybe thought just a few thousand here and there, but then you start thinking about all these years, 1,650 years, and how they all of them continue to multiply in this idea of rapid multiplication. To give you an idea of rapid multiplication, in 1850 AD, there were an estimated 1 billion people on the earth. In 2015, in 165 years, over 7 billion. So with 1 billion estimated in 1850, in just 165 years, with man not living near that long, and especially here lately with the abortion rate, the way it's skyrocketing. In 165 years, it went from the population of Earth from 1 billion to 7 billion people on planet Earth. Wow. A lot of people. Only one godly seed recorded. Could that mean it's because there's only one godly seed that was truly seeking the Lord? In this godly seed, we find many. Methuselah, the oldest man to live. And we find a lot of the... Now, these are all the genealogy of Noah. I mean, he traced his genealogy back, and you'll find all these men, this blessed, they in Noah's seed line. But the one that I want you to see that's in Noah's seed line, from the recording that God placed in the Bible, was a man by the name of Enoch. Not Enoch, a descendant from Cain, but Enoch, actually a descendant from Seth, which would have been great-grandfather of Noah. Look here. Enoch was part of the seed. Genesis chapter 5, look what it says about Enoch. Most of us know this, but in light of what I'm giving you tonight, just unreal. Verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. A key there. The Bible says, didn't say that about any of the other ones, although they come underneath this godly seed line, but Enoch actually walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, what set Enoch apart from everyone else on earth at that time? The Bible says he walked with God. Possibly the only one who totally dedicated his life to God. In all of this, now this is pre-Holy Spirit indwelling, pre-New Testament scriptures, pre-Christ, all the different things. It's just trying to help us to see what was taking place on earth. Where did mankind go from the creation to when God destroyed the earth with the flood? As far as we know, God makes an example of Enoch, and what he says about Enoch in recording out of all the other genealogies, only two recorded, that which was of Cain and that which now is of Seth. And of the godly seed line of Seth, we find here that God says this one man, Enoch, stood above everyone else. He did something far above what anyone else did at that time. And he actually was totally dedicated to God. And God was so pleased with Enoch that he just took him home. Never experienced, didn't have to go through physical death. God just took him because he walked with God. Until Noah. Not said about anyone else. Out of all the different ones, a billion people on the earth, and Noah, from this godly seed. And God records something different about Noah. Noah, verse 29 of chapter 5. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. Reveals that something was going to be different about Noah. Now we'll get into this a little bit later, but in chapter 6 and verse 9, look what it says about Noah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Something that Moses did not. As far as we know, as the Bible gives us a recording of just this one family, this godly seed of Seth, and even going down the godly seed, they continue to have children. Only a very few continued to call upon the Lord. And God so sets it out and says that this one man, Enoch, had such a testimony. And his testimony, he just gave his life to God. He genuinely believed in God and gave his life to God. And the next in line after him that God would say that about would be Noah. Now, God just took Enoch on home, and God would have special plans for Noah. Today, New Testament Christianity, because of Christ coming, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, praise the Lord, even though this world is being overrun by sin, and the majority going a totally different direction. But what a blessing to see those that are dedicated and giving their life to God. That genuinely believe and genuinely have a desire to walk with God. There's many more today. Praise the Lord for it. What God has in this New Testament church age. And of course, because of the church. It's because of the Bible. Because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So much influence in our day and age. And praise the Lord for that. But we go back. Without that, we don't know exactly all that they did have. Outside of just a testimony passed down from one family to the next. We don't really know what kind of society they lived in. We don't know how sophisticated, what kind of technology, all the different things. The Bible doesn't tell us that. And so if the Bible doesn't tell us, it's probably most of it buried underneath the tons of sand in the deepest part of the oceans because of the great flood. Who knows? But what the Bible does tell us. Very limited. And it all stemmed from one man's seed reproducing a seed that turned away from God. Enoch has mentioned in the New Testament. We're going to do this and we're going to stop right now. But Hebrews in chapter 11. We studied Noah, but I think another that we need to look at to help us to better understand Noah, because the only other one that was said to walk with God was Enoch. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible wants you and I to know this, and so we have it recorded in the New Testament scriptures. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, the faith chapter, look at 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he genuinely just pleased God. And then one of the most powerful passages of Scripture, one of the most blessed verses in all the Bible, I think, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That describes Enoch. It describes Noah. And we ought to desire it to describe us. Amen. That's how we ought to live our lives in this New Testament Christianity, is in following after the example of Christ, is saying, I want to live my life by faith, totally believing in him, and knowing that if I serve God, God will bless. He's a rewarder of all of those who diligently seek him. I tell people that all the time. I use that as counsel time after time. Praise God that we have that in the Bible. But it's all connected to Enoch and what it was like pre-flood. One other passage of Scripture, and we'll close with this, but look at Jude, verse 14. Right before the book of Revelation, you have the book of Jude. Jude 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now, I love that. He was a preacher of righteousness, just what the Bible said about Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah would just stand and say, "You better get your heart right with God. He's real and he's going to judge the earth." He pleased God because he believed in God and he witnessed to everyone around him. What a great example for New Testament Christianity. And not only did God give us this account of Enoch, but then the very next in line would have been Noah. And Noah also, a man of great faith, a preacher of righteousness, even in an evil and wicked society, evil and wicked world. I do have to take you one last verse, Matthew 24, and this is it. Because this brings it all together. It helps us to understand where we're at today. Can I live to please God in the 21st century? Should I continue to tell the world that heaven's real? Should I continue to stand upon the foundations of the Word of God and tell people this is right and this is wrong? What is right and what is wrong is based on the Word of God. Even when they don't want to hear it, I guarantee you they didn't want to hear it in Noah's day. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." No one wanted to hear it. Looked around, has nobody actually wanted to live for God? They'd all followed in the ways of Cain. And for a while there, I think there wouldn't have been a middle road. But toward the end, before the flood, the middle road all shifted to the ways of Cain. We'll see that as we continue to study this. And no one listened to the preaching of the righteous, great man of faith, Noah. And they all perished in the flood. Just as it was in Noah's day. You look around. Look how far we have gone away from the very Word of God. Look at our society. And this is the cream of the crop, America. And look at our society. Look at how many babies are murdered every year. Look at what God planned on the reproduction and replenishing of the earth by one man, one woman, having children. Look where that's gone. And just when we think it can't get any worse, what happens? It gets worse. How much worse can it get for it to be as it was in the days of Noah? As we see it, as we understand the way it was in the days of Noah, we'll be more apt to see it in our own society and be better prepared for the coming of the Son of God. Amen. Let's pray. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. This is just the beginning of this, and understanding these things will help us so much in going forward, knowing what we're dealing with today and not being discouraged. But just continue to focus on the one and what's most important in our lives, pleasing God. Just pleasing God. To know that God has rewarded those who diligently seek Him. Let's not let the world influence us. Let's be influenced by the presence of God, His Word, His ways. Not going to have a public invitation, but musical invitation, but there's always an invitation given, and right now it is. God spoke to you tonight. You need to come for whatever reason. More than anything else, I think that tonight we're just putting it all in perspective and understanding what God's given to us concerning the way it was when He destroyed the world the first time and the way it's going to be, although man will be so much more accountable today than what they were even then. But there will come an end. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Pray that You would just help us to, Lord, learn what You have presented to us, especially as we study this life of Noah and put it all in perspective so that it can help strengthen us to live for You today, to accomplish the things that You have us here to accomplish in this generation. Pray that You'd bless our people, bless our church. Help us to always have a desire to please You. Now be with us as we get ready to leave. Get us all home safely tonight. I know the roads can be bad and the weather's not very convenient to be out at, driving around in. So watch over our people. Get them home safely tonight. Bring us all back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.